We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mercedes turns on it. Down the left field line. Did he? Yes, he did! The fun never stops with number 73. Your mean Mercedes, bring him home. Come on!
Okay, so you ask what you do for an encore. The one thing he didn't do last night was hit the ball out of the ballpark.
Mercedes up the middle. He is 7-for-7 to open the year. Big load ready to go. And he unloads to left center field. This is number 8. And it takes a big old bounce. Your mean Mercedes sent him to the All-Star game. Outrageous what he's done. This is absolutely Hollywood golden ridiculous for your mean Mercedes.
Well, you might want to forget about the All-Star game and just send him to the Hall of Fame.
Put him in the Hall of Fame! Put him in the Hall!
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Oh, God, so much fun. See, Mercedes is so fun to watch hit. And he's got such this incredible bubbly personality that Sox fans have been dying for him. On Friday afternoon for the Parkins and Spiegel show on The Score, I was in studio and the lineup crossed with Yermin in the 8-hole and Chris Tannehill from the Locked On Sox podcast and from the Parkins and Spiegel show and Shane Reardon, big time Sox fans. Just every break for the rest of the show, every moment we had a chance to interact, one of them would say, Yermin in the 8-hole. Yermin in the 8-hole. Okay, hey, Spiegs, we're back in 2 minutes. You're mean in the 8-hole. Just so excited to finally see him. And then you get that. So we will talk about your mean Mercedes quite a bit with our next guest, who joins us right now on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apford.com. He is Dave Brown, who you can read these days writing baseball content. Once again, thank God you're back, Dave Brown. You can read him at the Midway Minute, a publication from his old partner at Big League Stew, Yahoo Sports, Kevin Kaduk. Midway Minute is a great read, and I get it in my inbox every morning, and you could too. Hello, Dave Brown. How are you?
Good morning, Speaks. Thanks for having me on. I was really digging the Mercedes highlights again. Put a big smile on my face.
Right? I mean, because everybody was looking forward to him, and then he's that. It's astonishing. What are you watching as you see him? In terms of his hitting style, and I've talked plenty about it in the first hour, but what are you enjoying as you watch him these first couple of starts of his major league life?
Well, I definitely, and you alluded to it, I enjoy how much he enjoys being out there. But what really struck me, maybe even more in with his first at bat, was how he adjusts to the count. I mean, he's a thinking man's hitter up there. You know, he'll take the ball the other way. He won't necessarily try to pull everything. He watches pitches beautifully. You can see he's a guy that appreciates, you know, a walk. You know, he doesn't have to swing the bat and get a hit every time up. And, you know, that's something that, you know, any lineup could use, the White Sox especially. So, you know, I definitely like his kind of cerebral approach up there. But also, I mean, the joy, you know, that's been a word that's been used a lot. Just he's so happy and relieved to, you know, have his hard work and all the time that he's put in after so many years in the minors and lower, you know, with unaffiliated teams, you know, getting a shot here. And it's, it's a great thing to enjoy if you're a White Sox fan.
2,400 minor league plate appearances, and you knew something had to be off-putting in his game to keep him away from the bigs, and it's that big leg kick. It's that big hand movement, the load as they drop below the waist as he loads up. But then you alluded to it, the bat control, the cerebral approach, the willingness to go the other way. We love watching guys like this. Frankly, it feels like watching Rod Carew or Tony Gwynn or, you know, somebody slappy or Ichiro. But the thing is, he can bop. He can absolutely swing for full power before he has those two strikes. It ends up being an archetype, actually, of what front offices want everybody to be these days. And Anthony Rizzo is the only Cub who can come close to it, to being that
true.
Way. Right?
You're right. That's a good point. And it also makes it a little more curious as to why, you know, it's taken him so long. You know, there's something, maybe there was something in his past that sort of turned off teams. And but, you know, you're right. He's a kind of a little guy's hitter in a big guy's body up there. And, you know, he's just been a joy to watch. And at least, you know, he's sort of keeping our minds off the White Sox defense, because that's probably what we'd be droning on about right now if it wasn't for Yermín Mercedes.
Oh, let's go ahead and drone, Dave. Dave Brown has written about baseball and sports for a long, long time. Yahoo Sports. He has answered Dave on the Twitter, because I remember the Answer Man. The Answer Man was around and active. Was he more than just Yahoo? Were you the Answer Man at Baseball Prospectus as well?
Yeah, I did a few Answer Mans over there, or Answer Men, Answer People. depending on where I've been. I might have had a couple at CBS, too. I was there for a time as well. Yeah, I'm trying to bring the Answer Man back. It's, you know, just I think I like to have fun with my baseball writings and interviews, and kind of ask funny questions and see how guys respond. And, yeah, so we'll see with Midway Minute exactly what I can do with the Chicago guys. So yeah. I'm looking forward to that, too.
Good, yeah. The Answer Men. I like having to pluralize that. It's like games seven, you know. So, so maybe it's Answers Men is what it should be. Even though that's
you know, it's people expect me to have all the answers to questions like this, but maybe I'm just, you know, I'm asking them too. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, you're living up to the man part. That much I'll give you. So, all right. So let's talk about that defense. How concerned are you overall for what this is? You know, for this, the entirety of the season. Are we just looking at isolated moments, or what's your concern level overall, Dave?
Kind of concerned. I'm not concerned about Louis Robert, even though he's now trying to play the infield as well as all the outfield positions. I think it was funny and maybe even something that we would like to see when he was calling off Eloy and running all over the field. But now he's doing it to Tim Anderson, so and balls are bouncing off his head. I think he's going to learn, you know, his limitations. I mean, he was running in. He was hustling in after that pop-up, and Anderson was right under it. So I hope he learns from that. I don't think I'm worried about that too much. You know, maybe Nick Madrigal trying to turn a double play, throwing the ball away and some other places on the field. You know, left field is going to be interesting, although it hasn't hurt them yet. You know, Adam Eaton, you know, I think his numbers last year were just so bad, but it's like, you know, are we just going to maybe blame the pandemic and the preparation for the World Series on him having a bad season in 2020? So, but, you know, he dropped an easy ball. You know, the defense, Zach Collins is kind of raw behind the plate. So I think there are genuine concerns, and, you know, they've given up so many unearned runs, and, you know, they Evan Marshall lost the game last night in the eighth inning, but I think it was the defense extending, you know, making Lance Lynn throw many, many extra pitches earlier in the game that kind of put the White Sox in position to have their seventh best reliever going against the heart of the Angels order in the eighth inning. I think that was, you know, and maybe Tony could have made some different choices as far as who was pitching in the eighth too, but the defense, in a way, cost them that game last night because of what happened early, and you can't have that over and over again.
All right, seventh best reliever, rank them then.
And now I need to see a list. Well, Hendricks, Crochet, Hendricks, Kopech, Crochet, Hoyer,
yeah,
or Bummer, Hoyer, I'm going back on my rankings already. Jose Ruiz is at the bottom, and then this is the worst list ever. You really put me on the spot here.
No. I'm with you. Like, because here's the thing. I some people might think of Cody Hoyer sixth, but he's probably the second or third best guy in that bullpen. You know.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead. I'd say Hendricks one, and then Hoyer, and then Bummer. And then maybe Crochet and Kopech, but they're also very specific, so they're not going to be available sometimes.
More than an inning, right.
Yeah, they'll be used for long stints and then get a couple days off. And then there's Matt Foster. The thing is that Marshall has, like, the least swing and miss stuff of any of those guys, but he's got the track record, so he's trustworthy and solid and all of that, but at some point he's going to be an option to get replaced on that depth chart, don't you think?
Well, he did a really good job last night against Trout. Some people thought maybe he threw him a hang and break a ball there for strike three, but he was getting him up in the strike zone, which is where you have to go after Trout. And then it was like, he couldn't do anything right for the next three guys. And I actually thought at some point maybe Tony would bring in Bummer for Jared Walsh, although maybe then he would come back with Pujols, but who knows. But, and then the Sox could be in trouble, but I think, and not using Hoyer last night after a day off, I don't know if maybe he wasn't available, or Tony was probably just trying to get everybody in, and see what he has with Marshall, who was a guy that they used a lot in high leverage situations last year. But with the additions to the bullpen this year, you'd think they wouldn't have to do that. So,
yeah, you loved the idea of Evan Marshall over the last couple of years being in a moment like that.
Right.
But Hoyer and Hendricks as eighth and ninth against righties with Bummer mixed in might be how it ends up. That might be how it ends up. But, man, you've got so many good options there. There's going to be a lot for Tony to figure out. Do you feel like you've learned anything about La Russa and Katz and the way they're going to deal with that bullpen, manage the bullpen overall? What else do you think you've learned over the first few games, if anything?
Well, I think maybe not learned, but reminded that, I might have nitpicked or disagreed with what La Russa did in the game last night, but I am comfortable knowing that in the long run, he knows what he's doing. I mean, La Russa was kind of making a saber-metric-ish pitching changes, 30 years ago. So, he's a guy that is going to use the bullpen maybe to a fault sometimes, but he generally knows what he's doing. And I'm just excited, just from what I've heard about Katz in terms of, his communication and how the guys are receptive to him. Coop was, kind of ran out his string a little bit. So I think, I don't know a lot about Katz, but what I see is good, and I think I'm in the long run, I'm going to trust La Russa is going to do the right thing in the bullpen and learn from mistakes or just sort of adjust to how the guy's stuff is presenting itself as far as the relief pitchers go, and just trust that he's going to make the right decision in the long run.
Yeah, that's the thing. Watch the stuff. See them pitch. What does the contact look like? What are you actually learning from watching, as opposed to just being buried in the book and looking at the numbers alone? I do trust that he and Katz will have it figured out, and I think some of those roles will work themselves out, and maybe they're starting to already. So when Jake Arrieta came back, and was announced back with the Cubs, and he was terrific yesterday. But when he was announced as coming back, I was like, man, there can't be any other organization that has had this many good pitchers come back, Cy Young Award winners and otherwise.
It is a tradition.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And just other great pitchers. Russell came back, and Fergie Jenkins came back, and Ken Holtzman came back, and Kerry Wood came back, and then Greg Maddux, of course, came back, and now Jake Arrieta is back. And you ranked him. You went through and looked at their accomplishments. Who had the best run as a Cub in their return? Of all those guys that I mentioned, who was best in their return as a Cub?
That's still a really good question. I think I sort of vacillate on that a little bit. Fergie Jenkins's run was amazing. I mean, as an old man, as a 38 or 39 year old man, he was still effective. I think, he was cut in spring training in 84, and the Cubs, you know, made up their mind to go out and get Sutcliffe and Dennis Eckersley and so forth. But I still think, you know, even at that age, he could have gotten some people out for some other team. And it would have been fun to have Fergie on the 84 Cubs, but he was really effective at the end. You know, and Greg Maddux, you know, I mean, Greg Maddux pitched so many innings and was just so solid when he came back. I mean, he wasn't Greg Maddux, you know, 92, 93, but just what a guy that would just eat innings and be pretty good. And just kind of an amazing way that he adjusted toward the end of his career when, you know, he didn't have quite the stuff that he did, but he was just so effective right up until the end with the Cubs. Now, those two guys really stick out.
Yeah, you know, Maddux, you had it 7.4 wins above replacement over 90 starts. 90
right.
starts he made. That's crazy. Fergie had 67 appearances, 63 starts, and had 4.7 wins above replacement. So it's between those two. I don't know if Arrieta will have that body of work. You know, you have to be here for 3 years to get close to that stuff.
That's true, and it's going to depend on the other pitchers, you know, in the rotation, but also in the bullpen, so that the Cubs don't feel like they have to overuse him. I think that's the danger mm-hmm. at this point with him, that, you know, if you overuse him, you know, the curveball is going to be hanging. And it's not going to be, you know, we don't expect Jake Arrieta Cy Young. And everybody's been upfront about that since he came back. But the guy who pitched yesterday and a guy that can pitch like that is certainly going to be somebody who's valuable to the team, as long as, you know, defense doesn't overextend innings, as long as bullpen doesn't blow leads and blow confidence that, you know, you got to keep him out there for an extra inning or whatever. If they're judicious in how they use him, I think he can be, you know, Fergie Jenkins-like or Greg Maddux-like for the Cubs over these next 3 years.
Entirely possible. Dave Brown, nice to reconnect, man. Thanks for the time, and keep doing what you do at Midway Minute. It's a great read every morning.
Okay, thanks very much. It's midwayminute.win, by the way. So if you go to midwayminute.com, I don't know what you're going to get, but if you go to midwayminute.win, you're going to get me and Kevin. So that's what you want.
There you go. Hop on in. Thanks, Dave. Yeah, you know, I love it when displaced journalists go out on their own and form something and bust their hump and build something. And that's what Kevin has done with Midway Minute. Very cool that answer, Dave. Dave Brown is in there as part of it. We have a Cubs lineup that crossed a little while ago. I'll bring it to you because somebody's in it who wasn't yesterday. And I wonder how he felt when he saw his name not in that lineup yesterday. We'll talk about that next. Herb Lawrence on the Yerminator at about 10:40 right here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Ian's fine. I think I've got 4 really good outfielders that we're going to have to mix and match. I don't want Jake to come from swing the bat pretty well in spring to sitting and getting stale. So we're trying to find the right matchups for guys, rotate that through and trying to keep everybody fresh and see how the season gets off. What kind of start it gets.
David Ross talking about Ian Happ not in the lineup yesterday. Good grab there by our executive producer, Sean Anderson. Ian Happ not in the lineup yesterday, but back in it today. Ian Happ historically versus lefties, not as good as he is versus righties. Last year in his breakout season, the OPS was well over 900. against righties, against lefties. It was about 715. In his career, the OPS is in the low 700s against lefties. But that's your leadoff hitter, and last year was your best player. And to see him not in the lineup on day two was kind of jarring, wasn't it? And the Cubs win. Wilson Contreras hit leadoff yesterday. Jake Marisnyk did get a hit, did score a run. He's a tall drink of water. Tall and lanky is Jake Marisnyk. And did you hear what he was using for his walk-up music? I'm sure you didn't out there. I Love Rock and Roll by Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. I'm going to need an explanation on that. I always love when, like, certain old songs find their way in. And I'm wondering, all right, so how did this guy hear this? And when did he hear it? And why did he choose it? You know, was it, which wave of popularity was it? It's so weird now because you can listen to anything at any point that's ever been recorded or released. It's all available, and it's just a strange, strange world. But anyway, Jake Marisnyk into the game yesterday, and no Ian Happ. But Ian Happ back in the lineup. Here's your Cubs lineup today against a real good arm of the Pirates. And that is Mitch Keller. Mitch Keller has been a highly thought of prospect for a while. Got real good mid to high 90s fastball. He's got four pitches, a changeup, curveball, slider guy. So this is a good arm that you'll see as a right-hander going against the Cubs today. Ian Happ in center. Contreras is your catcher batting second. Rizzo hits third. Chris Bryant fourth. Jock Peterson, fifth. Javi Baez, sixth. Jason Hayward, seventh. Getting a start at second base is Eric Sogard in the eighth spot. And then Zach Davies is your pitcher. Sogard came in and pinch hit for Arrieta yesterday. Sogard getting the start over Bodie today. I know that job was handed to Bodie. And it was with a broad context that Ross said it's his turn at the end of spring training. And David's earned it, and he's going to be the regular. But here we are, day three against the righty, and for Bodie to get a rest and Sogard to get a shot, no problems there. No issues there for me. Sogard is it's a guy they've wanted for a couple of years specifically, and certainly a profile that they've wanted for a couple of years in terms of contact. Always been a fairly high contact guy. Has Sogard, a different kind of profile. Speaking of contact, I saw this yesterday. And by the way, the phone lines and text lines are always open here on Hit and Run on a Sunday morning. I want to talk baseball with you guys at 312-644-6767. Here's a text. How about sitting Jason Hayward for about 3 months? How about the home run he hit yesterday? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I mean, you could hit Sid Hayward against a lefty. At the beginning of yesterday, but then, you know, Hayward was good last year too, and Hayward's defense and right field. I'm not a sit Jason Hayward guy right now, not yet. We'll see what happens. But remember, he was real good last year. He was one of the few to have a good offensive year last year. So I mentioned swing and miss. Jose Berríos and Corbin Burnes of the Twins and Brewers, respectively, both went 6 innings, allowing no hits yesterday in that one. Byron Buxton with another homer for the Twins, and they get a win. I think 2-0 is your final there for Twins over Brewers. But both those pitchers had double-digit Ks through 6 hitless innings. That's never happened before. StatCast puts out a daily leaderboard. Those two guys were numbers 3 and 4 in terms of swings and misses over the course of the year, of the day, excuse me. Swings and misses over the course of the day yesterday. It's the hazards of working solo. You look up, you read something, you say year instead of day and sound like a complete idiot. So anyway, Berríos and Burnes, number 3 and number 4 in terms of swings and misses. Number 2 was Alex Cobb of the Angels against the White Sox. And number 1 was Tyler Anderson against the Cubs. 1 and 2 on swings and misses. Cubs and Sox, baby. Alex Cobb, not a strikeout guy. Lots of swings and misses there for the White Sox, though. And Tyler Anderson, not a strikeout guy, but a lot of swings and misses there for the Cubs. So that's kind of weird. That's an odd one yesterday. Texters getting in. Sogard is a nice ball player. I agree. This one. Ian Happ is in his head too much. He told Bernstein RBIs are really hard. Had a chance to get one Thursday and got out. Just needed contact. RBIs are hard. You must, I loved that conversation about RBIs with Ian Happ and Bernsey and Rahimi, and enjoy his appearances on Wednesday mornings. But yeah, man, baseball, difficult. Hitting a baseball, hardest thing in sports. Texter says, are you excited for the Zach Davies experience, Speaks? Oh, hell yes. Oh, hell yes, I am. Absolutely, I am. And very
That's
cool
kind of
moment.
The message I like to relay to the young pitchers I coach and that I want to talk about stuff on Marquee Sports Network.
Hey, Sean, I'm really looking forward to watching Zach Davies closely this year. And my showmates during the week laugh at me when I talk about that, but they're idiots. But, you know, they are. I'll double down. If you're tempting me to try and double down on calling my showmates during the week idiots, that's not a big ask, Sean.
I was just more playing it because it mentioned Zach Davies and how excited you are for Zach Davies. Also, I got some research on your guy Jake Marcinek.
Jake Mariznick.
Mariznick, my bad.
Yeah, big fan of Jake Mariznick's, I can tell.
Yeah, I've been doing some research. According to platemusic.com, great resource for if you're looking for walk-up music. Jake Mariznick, August 2014, he was coming up to Come and Get It by Selena Gomez. In June 2018, he was coming up to That's What I Like by Bruno Mars. June 2018, he then changed it to Closer to the Sun by Slightly Stupid. And then he just recently added Joan Jett, I Love Rock and Roll. But also, there's this story on MLB.com where apparently in 2016, and this wasn't listed on platemusic.com, so I don't know if it's, you know, legit. George Springer and Jake Mariznick's love of dinosaurs is well documented. They went to Dinosaur World together during spring training. In May, they played pregame catch while Springer was literally dressed as a dinosaur. So it shouldn't really be a surprise that Mariznick has begun using the Jurassic Park theme for his walk-up music. Although it turns out he needed some encouragement from his fellow aspiring paleontologist. I said, George, do you think Jurassic Park sounds like a good one? Springer's response, why wouldn't you use Jurassic Park? That's it.
Oh, man. That is a lot of context and appreciated, Sean. And the recorder version of the Jurassic Park theme song, it slaps. Oh, does it slap. Platemusic.com, outstanding reference for those of us who care about such things. Yeah, I want to talk to Mariznick. I want to talk to that dude. So we will, along the way, here on Hit and Run, get a chance to talk to members of the Cubs and Sox, as we always do. And it's an interesting guy. Love that. All right, well, good to know. Note to self, if Mariznick is ever on, ask him about dinosaurs. That works. I got lots of dinosaur knowledge. In fact, what's the Paraceralophus? Would you look at, please Google Paraceralophus out there, folks, because that is it's my son's favorite dinosaur. And the look on that dinosaur is really, really cool. It's got the horn that goes back like that, where it goes back behind the head. It extends. And then the front of the face, when the mouth is closed, the front of the face looks like, in my opinion, the front of Tony La Russa's mask that he wears these days. He has the extended face mask thing. It has the crease, and it goes far, and it's kind of rounded. It either looks like the front of a Paraceralophus or a tapir. If you're already there on the Google machine, go ahead and Google tapir, which is a kind of, it's a relative of a rhinoceros, but has the rounded front proboscis. And that's the vibe I'm getting from Tony La Russa's mask. And I thought it was important to squeeze that in to Hit and Run here on a Sunday morning. Texter says, has the Sox bullpen, has it failed? And was that their strength? A couple games in, some troubles. We've discussed, and we will discuss plenty. Got to figure out exactly what the roles are. There is a certain play, a certain give and take that you're going to have to sort of allow here early on as he figures out which guys are to be utilized in which situations. And it's up to you how patient you want to be for that kind of thing. I would have liked to see Aaron Bummer instead of Evan Marshall going against Jared Walsh yesterday. But you could make a case that that shouldn't have been Evan Marshall in the eighth at all, that it should have been Cody Hoyer. Maybe it will be next opportunity there is for that kind of situation. It's 670 The Score. Lots of White Sox talk coming and lots of Cubs talk too. Top of the hour, a really, really cool moment for a guy who hasn't seemed to have a lot of joy in his baseball life. He had it yesterday. We'll talk about that at the top of the hour. But when we come back, few people love your mean Mercedes as much as Herb Lawrence, the co-host of Locked On Sox. We talk to him next on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Terrell Mercedes has his first major league hit, and it's the Sox first hit of this ball game, and he is absolutely amped over at first base. Left side through, he'll get at least one run. Joe McEwing says, come on down, Adam Eaton, and he is safe at the plate. Your mean Mercedes keep that baseball too. It's 7-1. Mercedes got him. 3-for-3 for your mean Mercedes. He shows up hitting zero for his career. Now he's a 750 hitter. A little inside out job and four hits for your mean Mercedes. Now that is a ridiculous two strike hit. Your mean to left field down the line. That is fair. It's a 5-for-5. Couple more runs driven in. Yeah, enjoy it.
If he never does another thing in his career, he will forever be in the White Sox record books.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
That was awesome. That from Friday night, your mean Mercedes, his first start, he goes 5-for-5. The first guy to have five hits in his first start since Cecil Travis of the Washington Senators in 1933. And I, Matt Spiegel, have amazing Cecil Travis trivia for you. I know you've been waiting. I know you woke up and you're like, man, I don't know enough about Cecil Travis, the last guy to have five hits in his first major league start. Maybe Spiegs knows some more. I do, and I'll give it to you next hour. Oh, it's a tease right there. But let's talk about your mean Mercedes with the friend of the show, friend of the station, co-host of the Locked On Sox podcast. He is Herb Lawrence, who joins us right now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Alpamonte Nissan, in fact, is in Melrose Park on North Avenue. You can go online to check him out at apnissan.com. Hello, Herb. What's happening, man?
Hey, Speaks. How you doing today?
I'm good. Tell me of your love for your mean Mercedes and why, before this weekend, tell people why you have loved your mean Mercedes and have wanted him around and now are probably enjoying it so much. What was the love about, Herb?
Well, as a round guy myself, I automatically draw myself to guys who have my type of body. Pretty much the same height. He's about 5'10". He's listed about 250. That's a little generous. But once the White Sox picked him up in the Rule 5 draft from the Baltimore Orioles, I started looking at his career, and all I saw is production. All I saw was the bat played in the major leagues. And I saw his age. I was like, man, he's been in the minors for a while. He was a 18-year-old free agent signed with the Nationals, and he's been grooming himself in the minors for a while. So he's not, you know, a guy that's just getting lucky. He's a guy out there doing work with the bat. And so a couple years go by, he was in low A Winston-Salem, and then worked his way up to Birmingham, to Charlotte, and mm-hmm. just getting passed over by guys that I was like, come on now, are we really, really doing this with this guy instead of the guy who clearly can hit? As the White Sox have designated hitter problems, this guy, as he's shown so far, all he does is hit.
It's all he does, Herbie. And at every step of the way in the minors, he's done it, especially the last 5 years. There's something about him that people haven't trusted, whether it is how he looks – in batting practice when he's going for the fences and it's the wiffle ball softball approach with the giant leg kick, whether it's that or whether it's the personality, the bubbly personality, maybe some people rubbed the wrong way. 2,400 minor league plate appearances now behind him, and just one plate appearance last year, and here he is, and this is what he's done. It's amazing. So now he's here, and you got to play him. He should be in this lineup tonight at DH, shouldn't he?
Oh, yeah. Like, you play him until the wheels fall off. This hopefully isn't going to be like this, but remember Chris Shelton? Like, he started the year for the Detroit Tigers. Like, he's hitting a bunch of home runs, made the All-Star game. I think he had 20 home runs before the All-Star break, and then fell off the table. You found something in Yermín Mercedes, and you don't have a everyday designated hitter. Why wouldn't you play this guy every day to see what he's about? Yes, he's not going to be an 800 hitter, but maybe he's a 300 guy with 500 slugging. I don't know. You don't know either, so let's go and find out, since we don't have a better option at the designated hitter. As we see, Andrew Vaughn so far outmatched in his three games, but it's three games. And all their options on the roster are not even close to superior to what Yermín's going to give you every day. You know, with the bat, he's going to at least battle you. I mean, while everybody's talking about the good hits, and the eight hits are impressive, the most impressive thing to me is, I think it was a 1-2 count, and it was a filthy slider, like right on the edge of the strike zone, and he spit on it. I was like, come on now. Huh. Already a rookie like that in the majors, yeah, in his third game, spitting on a filthy slider. Guy's got plate discipline.
Yeah, dude, he has tremendous plate discipline. He's got a really good eye. He's not afraid to pass on pitches like that. And he's also willing to put pitches like that into the opposite field. And that's the thing. Like, when you see early success and people start saying really good things, to a lot of people, they're going to start referencing, you know, Tuffy Rhodes, or like other stuff like that. Just understand, if you're really watching these at bats, he's doing it on a wide array of pitches, different kinds of pitches in different parts of the plate, to different places at different times of the count. This is a really skilled contact hitter. And the home run, by the way, was with two strikes, so he can still have a little power even with the two strikes. It's not all shortening up. It's very, very exciting. I don't know whether they're going to let him catch sometime soon. Collins caught last night. I know you mostly want that to be Grandal, but boy, it'd be powerful if you could get this guy into the lineup at catcher, especially because it affords you the opportunity for another different kind of bat at DH. But yeah, this is a man forcing himself into the lineup, and I think that's wise. Overall, what have you been enjoying about your ball club? Start with the good. What have you been enjoying about your ball club through the first three games here, Herb?
Well, the starters, I enjoy them. I mean, I know they haven't gone necessarily deep into the games, but Lucas Giolito looked like the ace that he is. He, ran on a little gas in that game. Understandably so. Mike Trout and Anthony Rendon are tough customers. To walk those guys is not anything you got to hang your head about. And we saw Dallas Keuchel do Dallas Keuchel things in the second game, where he's just consistent, his hitting, dotting the eyes, they're dotting the black of the corners of the plate and such. And I really like Lance Lynn. No scared in him, none at all. Mike Trout, man, that fastball, he challenged him twice, struck him out twice. And then the last pitch he threw versus Anthony Rendon, we all know that was a strike. He aced him on the bottom corner of the strike zone. The ump just didn't give it to him. And the thing I love the most is not saying a word to that ump while walking off the mound, just looking at him with daggers, killing him with daggers. It's like, yeah, you know you messed up. That was a strike. When you go back and review that, come back tomorrow and apologize to me, please. Because that Lance Lynn, man, he has some fire in him. He is about the business, boss.
Yeah. yes, he is, Herbie. And that vibe will be a helpful addition, I think, to the pitching staff and to the team. I'm not worried about the bullpen. That, you know, bummers Bummer's breakdown the other night was largely due to Madrigal's error, in my opinion, and extending that inning. And then Upton had a terrific at bat against him. Stuff happens. And then Marshall last night. I do wonder if Marshall is long for that kind of primary eighth inning setup guy. I think Cody Hoyer, who his first appearance is as like the middle closer guy to come out and sort of start the bullpen after Giolito. That was his first appearance for La Russa. I think that role could end up being interchangeable a little bit with Marshall, but we'll have to see. It's early.
Yeah, and Tanny and I always talk about it on Locked On Sox. They have two guys last year that came on the scene that surprised both of us, and one of them you mentioned, Cody Hoyer, and the other one, Matt Foster. I mean, that changeup that he throws in the combination of a mid-90s fastball is deadly. So, yeah, high leverage for Evan Marshall. I think maybe a little bit earlier in the game, seventh, sixth inning. But, yeah, if it's the eighth inning and you need a guy to strike some people out, Cody Hoyer would be more the guy that I'm looking for. And like you said, Aaron Bummer, that was a blip on the radar. Some might say you've got to pitch over mistakes, but that was a huge thing. Getting one out right there would have been a nice relief for the pitcher, especially going against that lineup. That Angels lineup is no punk. So to say the bullpen is not what we advertise, yeah, you could be a little disappointed so far, but I think this bullpen's still a top bullpen, if not the best bullpen in the majors. They haven't shown it as yet, but they haven't been helped out by their defense.
Herbie, this was fun, man. Thank you. Appreciate you. Enjoy your day. Enjoy national TV tonight for your beloved. And I'll see you during the week, as always.
I appreciate being the second best Herb on this show.
That is strong. I am back-to-back hours, double Herb action. Herb on Herb action. As 1 hour from now, Herb Spiegel will join us, my pops. And that's when I'll deliver my Cecil Travis trivia. Are the phone lines buzzing? Have people been calling and texting, begging for Cecil Travis information so far, Sean?
No, more people are wondering why you called Herb a employee of the station, a friend of the station. Someone said, Herb is a friend of the station. Doesn't he still work at the Score? Did you fire him, Speaks? I mean, they're also talking about how great I am. So,
right. Okay, good. Excellent. No, we'll get to that Cecil Travis information later on. And Shohei Ohtani going for the Angels tonight as a pitcher. That should be a very fun, interesting opportunity for some Sunday Night Baseball viewing and or listening. It is Spiegs. It is Hit and Run. Bruce Levine's going to join us from Wrigley in a matter of moments. My pops next hour as well. Danny Rocket, the San Ranto podcast, will join us at noon because we got some bonus Hit and Run leading up to the Cubs and the Pirates rubber match at 12:45. That's all right here on 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.